When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Jimmy Van
and
Sean Ross Sapp.
Fightful.com. Yeah.
What's up, you guys? Sean Ross Sapp. Welcome to Fightful. It's the hump. It is June 5th, 2024. We are finally back. Some of you have wondered, where is Jimmy Van? Jimmy Van actually got kidnapped several weeks ago. I have not paid the ransom. I refuse to do that. However, the people holding him captive have allowed him internet access, a Fightful hat, a mic, although he has to hold it up to his mouth. Like, that's the rule. So that's where we are right now. We're going to encourage you guys, leave a thumbs up, subscribe. We got lots of cool interviews, stuff coming your way. A video I've done about the times I've met Maven, dropping a studio video there. I just finished a great interview with Mark Henry. We'll plug all that kind of stuff later on. Jimmy, what's your favorite fruit?
Currently, raspberries.
I don't think they have a raspberry emojis. Drop banana emojis in our chat right now. Right now. Lots of banana emojis. But this show is largely guided by you guys, but we do have some topics we're going to discuss. Leave super chats here at youtube.com/Fightful. If you're watching on X, on Twitch, all those other platforms, humperchats.com, H-U-M-P-E-R, chats.com. Jimmy, it's good to have you back.
Good to see you, buddy. I feel like I'm in an asylum.
Yeah.
Like, as you can see, nothing
but white.
We
belong in one.
Nothing but white. If I showed you the floor, so I'm in a rental property, as you know, because my house isn't ready. The room I'm in is where my son sleeps. The floor is covered with action figures. So, like, during breaks, if you're bored, I can show you some of the stuff that he has on here. And I was telling Sean, I forgot to pack earbuds. And so I didn't think I could do this at all, but the magic of technology, Sean Ross Sapp.
Yeah, it used to be every time we did a show like that, I would be able to hear myself
right
through that, but not the case anymore. Man, look at all these people loving bananas. Look at all this. And Jimmy, you also, by the way, congrats on your team going to the Stanley Cup Finals.
So I wanted to ask you, are you sticking with the Maple Leafs?
You know, so, all of a sudden, your tech issues are just too much to handle. Can't overcome it.
I think you've already felt the pain a little bit, right?
I mean, literally every year since I've become a Maple Leafs fan, like 4 years ago. Yeah.
Yes. And it's not going to get better. It's going to get worse.
I sort of adopted the Maple Leafs when I came on to Fightful. I had tried to be a Columbus Blue Jackets fan, but I mean, Columbus is just far enough away. I never go to Columbus.
Is that the closest team to you?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. That's why you picked them.
Yeah, and then it's like, you know what? I've been to Toronto more than I have Columbus in my life. So
that's unfortunate. Yeah. That's unfortunate. You're sticking with the wrong team. But yeah, the Oilers are great. The only problem is I cannot go to every home game at Edmonton for this round. I'm unavailable for every one.
Well, I'll say this. I mean, in the time that I have adopted the Toronto Maple Leafs, Columbus has been like abysmal, like one of the worst teams in the league. So
like every year.
So there you go. Somebody asked what other teams I follow. Kentucky Wildcats, basketball, football, college stuff, Morehead State University. That's where I went to college. Cincinnati Reds, Toronto Raptors, Cincinnati Bengals. I wish we had a local NBA team. And Indiana Fever and the WNBA. They're our local team. They have Caitlin Clark. That's pretty cool. But
Toronto's got a WNBA team?
Yeah, I mean, listen, if Caitlin Clark wasn't on the Indiana Fever, I might have adopted them too.
Yeah, they're doing really well. WNBA, it's really blowing up. Good for them. They're selling at arenas now.
Listen, they're gonna get an increase on their media rights when time comes as well. They're really gonna do that. NBA, I mean, that's really what we can jump into right here. And by the way, guys, send in your super chats, send in your humper chats. Josh Mansfield says, woke up from a nap. This best be a good show. I'm sure it will be. But
I actually wanted to get your thoughts first on Conor McGregor. What do you think is going on with Conor McGregor?
Conor McGregor has hit like Nate Diaz territory for me, where I'll believe that he's going to get in the ring
right
when it happens. Everything up until the day of, I don't believe. John Jones now as well. Yes. It's all talk until I see them get back in the cage. There's always some hurdle. There's always some reason. There's always something that always gets in the way.
Yes.
And I mean, listen, Fightful's crossover element was largely built on the success of Conor McGregor. He was very, very successful and all that stuff. But you know what? When you made millions and millions off a whiskey brand and you made millions off a boxing match, you don't really need to fight that much. And it's been 3 years since we've seen him fight.
Yeah.
Be surprised if we never saw him fight again.
I agree. I've seen video clips taken relatively recently of him partying it up.
Sure.
And so it doesn't look like he's exactly having a really tight training camp. I think Chandler would crush him, if I'm being honest. But yeah, I don't know, because I saw Errol Helwani still believes McGregor's showing up. Like, the fight has not been canceled.
I'm sure that info comes straight from McGregor. I'm positive he has a direct line to McGregor. He's probably done more interviews with McGregor than anybody that probably, besides the Mac Life, his own website.
But yes. Yeah. I'm curious, man. 3 weeks. Literally, the fight's in 3 weeks. And I've seen nothing to show me that McGregor is in shape. Have you seen the new Roadhouse?
I have not. I don't want to watch that.
Okay. Smart man. Smart man. McGregor, Tom Hanks, he is not. Let's just say that.
Yeah, I've heard he's a terrible actor.
Not very good. Yeah, but I'm still interested in the fight, so we'll see what happens.
Oh, I'm interested in the fight, too. Like, I often say this, Jimmy. Nothing makes you a casual MMA fan quicker than covering MMA full-time.
Right.
And for everybody that talks about eight-hour WrestleManias and this AEW show is 5.5 hours, every Saturday my life used to be 5:30, 5:45, you're getting ready for the first prelim.
Right.
1 a.m., the last fight ends, if you're lucky, usually 1:30 these days. Then guess what you do? You wait around for an hour until the presser starts, and then you sit through that for an hour and a half. That's probably why like AEW shows don't bother me so much with length, but I don't miss doing that at all. And now somebody asked me like, oh, what are your thoughts on WWE at the Apex? And I'm like, I haven't watched an Apex show from UFC in years. Like, I don't watch them. But you know what I was going to watch? Jake Paul and Mike Tyson. I was going to watch Michael Chandler and Conor McGregor. I do watch the big fights, obviously, but it definitely made me a casual MMA fan.
Yeah, and I mean, I saw last weekend, and I agreed with you. You were talking about Costa Strickland, 5 rounds. Why? I agree. So that was 5 rounds.
Why didn't he be five rounds?
That was 5 rounds.
And I had people saying, oh, because it's the co-main event. And I'm like, when did you start watching? Like two months ago? Like last month they had a co-main event that wasn't 5 rounds. It's so ridiculous. Don't read it.
Yep.
Irwin says Panthers or Oilers. I'm imagining Jimmy's going to go with the Panthers.
You know what? So because they're my team, I would say Edmonton, but legitimately, I think the Oilers have an excellent chance, but obviously they made it to the final. I think they have an excellent chance and I'm picking them in 6 games. Yeah. I think Oilers take it in 6.
So let's talk about the AEW rights, because it tied into what I mentioned earlier, these incredible NBA media rights that look like they're closing in on what will be $6.9 billion a year.
Yep.
$6.9 billion a year across
76 over 11, right?
76 over 11.
Yeah.
That would be not quite a triple the increase. I asked Jeremy what the current was, and he said, $2.7 billion a year between all the networks. So they are getting about a $4.2 billion increase, Jimmy. And WBD isn't going to be paying out any of that. Now, I know that they've sublicensed some stuff that is both out there and some that isn't out there across sports. It is not going to make up whatever they spent on that. So. Yep. I'm interested in what you think about, because I happen to know a lot about this situation.
Yeah, and I'm going to ask you that too. So I missed last week, and last week a gentleman by the name of Matthew Baloney from Puck News did a story about AEW rights. He said that Warner Brothers wants to keep 5 hours of AEW programming, and he said Tony Khan was said to be disappointed with the offer on the table and the exclusive window closes in July. When I heard that, honestly, Sean, I didn't really think that was big news, because Yeah. It's standard negotiations, right? Like Warner Brothers was never going to put their best offer on the table right out of the shoot. And so to me, it really wasn't news when
that out of the shoot has been like a year plus, like there've been offers on the table. Yeah,
sure. I mean, there, you know, negotiations for this kind of thing. I mean, you know, it can stretch out. When CM Punk that time on AEW television made reference to one bill Phil, a lot of people, especially wrestling fans, were like, oh, they're going to get $1 billion over $5 billion. Mm-hmm. That was never going to happen. They were never going to get $1 billion over $5 billion. However, they're going to get a good increase. And I think it was WrestleNomics that speculated that they're currently getting $85 million a year, including Collision. If you figure that WWE got a 40% increase for SmackDown and they got around 30% for Raw, Raw's harder to figure out because Netflix included other countries, but Brandon Thurston broke it down to about a 30% increase. If you figure AEW, let's say they got a 40% increase, that's $120 million a year. And when you and I did the pod a couple of weeks ago, I speculated 600 over five. That was the number that I threw out. I think that's what they're looking at. And that's a good increase. It is. I mean, that will make them profitable, even if they include streaming in that and everything else, even if they include pay-per-view in that, that's a good number that will make them profitable. And I think that's what's going to happen. I think they'll end up with Warner Brothers Discovery. I think they're going to sign for 120-ish a year. What I'm curious about is, does Warner Brothers go five or do they want to go say three because AEW's numbers have been on the decline? But at the same time, we've seen live sports or live entertainment, whatever they're classified under, that's the only thing working on cable. And Dynamite's still the top show on Wednesday night.
So again, this isn't my first round of media rights that I've covered. I covered the 2019 as well. Of course, I've developed significantly more sources since then. And it's like there's never been a discussion of not keeping AEW with WBD. Sure. They have always been very transparent and also very positive towards AEW. That being said, like the only time I ever saw somebody be negative was Fox was a little negative about WWE, probably because a big lawsuit ended up getting kicked up. But you know what? That was largely their fault too because of the 2B MLW thing. So some conversations there ended up costing WWE about $20 million. But that's neither here nor there. The WBD thing, like it's always been of course we're going to make them an offer. Why wouldn't we? It's cost effective, even at an increase for them. It was really, really hammered home to me. Everything that we do at WBD, they said, has Max in mind. Everything. Like every decision we make. And they said, you know, when AEW started, Max was barely like a twinkle in the eye of WBD. And it wasn't quite what it is now. And I think that whatever AEW does, they should be looking at getting PPVs on streaming to expand your viewership base first off, because I think that's integral to growth. I don't know if WWE would have had such incredible growth if their pay-per-views weren't so accessible by people for the last however many years. Sure, they took a hit for a while, but the fact that there are fans who really didn't need to watch the weekly shows. They could tune into the PLEs. I know lots of people like that. I think you want that there. You also want, if at all possible, your library on Max, because that can help cultivate a new fan base. And also, you want your next day streaming on Max or simulcast streaming, for the love of God. Like if you can do that and get them to live stream it on Max as well, you're really doing well. And I'm sure WBD wants all those things. It's just a matter of, with AEW, is the money going to justify?
I think this is a mutually ambitious thing, or it's something that's going to help both parties. Because honestly, if Warner Brothers isn't on the table, is there going to be another distributor at their level, at their stature, that has an appetite for AEW? I think that this is a marriage between these two that works for both sides. And obviously AEW haters are going to be really miserable when the deal is done, but it's going to get done. And when you look at Peacock, like you just said, when there's a PLE, they put it on the homepage of Peacock. You don't have to just go to the WWE tab. You can access it from the homepage of Peacock. And so, like you said, those millions of subscribers, that's what they see. Could do the same thing on Max with a PLE or a pay-per-view, whatever they're going to call it if this happens. But the same thing for AEW. So I fully think it's going to get done. Like I said, I think the whole billion over five was just too ambitious. It wasn't going to happen. And I think Tony Khan knows that that wasn't going to happen.
I think now it is. I think losing Punk, dropping those numbers, it doesn't help. But I also don't think it's an accident that we're seeing them toy around with these 3-hour TV blocks as well.
For sure.
Because if I'm AEW and WBD, I want to consolidate that into two nights. Now,
yes.
If you want to give them the ability to replay those shows whenever they want across your networks, like for example, with WWE Raw, you might see it pop up on different channels, like on a Saturday afternoon or something like that. I think the replay value is also very important for stuff like this. Carlos says, I think the WBD dropped the ball with the NBA, especially not having inside the NBA anymore. What type of positive and negative does this have for AEW? Well, I mean, objectively, there is more budget to go around and there's a greater need to retain programming that brings them proven viewers. Now, there's going to be, as Anakin says, AEW haters will just say WBD overpaid, no pleasing them. There will be plenty that say that AEW got underpaid as well.
For sure. Because a lot of people believe this billion over five because it was on television, right? And I've seen people on Twitter. So I mentioned last week that I suspected 600 over five in that ballpark. There were people responding to me saying, no, billion over five, billion over five. It's just not going to happen. But people need to understand, if they can get 120, 125, that's good. Like, that's a good increase, you know? And it will make them profitable.
I'm not convinced I'm not convinced on a number specifically because, again, there's so much at play here. There is exclusivity. Mm-hmm. There's a library. There is next day. There are next day rights. There is Dynamite, Collision, Rampage. The possibility of those going live. There's pay-per-view. There's the possibility of reality series as well. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of crossover elements here that I think that we can't necessarily sit here and predict right now, because AEW has also, they might work in a thing where they say, hey, by the way, just whenever we want, we're going to do crossover stuff like House of the Dragon. Like, there are so many elements to this that I don't think are necessarily predictable.
And it's hard to put a financial price tag on that too. Like it's more like just a good cross promotional thing. One thing I want to say to the gentleman that said the impact of losing the NBA. So we talked about this before. Short term, I think this is great for AEW, because if you're David Zaslav, and you got to think about how they make a lot of their money, carriage fees with the cable distributors. You've just lost the NBA. Your cable distributors now, they're going to want a reduced carriage fee. If you then lose AEW, which is really the only thing they have left that I know of, aside from, I think, NHL and college basketball, if you lose AEW after losing the NBA, I think you're going to do even more damage. So I think short term, this is really good for AEW. The question long term is going to be, what kind of reduction in carriage fees is Warner Brothers going to take? And depending on what that is that going to impact how much they can spend down the road? But that's not going to matter now. This is something that's going to take time. Short term, this is good news for AEW. I mean, it is. That's just reality.
I'll tell you what's good news for our viewers: being able to disregard all that and getting NordVPN. Buying pay-per-views on NordVPN.com/Fightful is going to enhance your pay-per-view buying process. Now, one subscription to NordVPN has so many different benefits, but if you're a big pay-per-view buyer like myself, UFC, boxing, pro wrestling, all that good stuff, any combination of the three, if they're doing a fight circus or something like that, this subscription will pay for itself after one or two pay-per-view buys. Change your virtual location, pay for it at the prices that other people are paying for it in the UK, in Australia, etc., etc. And you can get different interfaces. Maybe you don't like Peacock and you want to check out the WWE Network the way that it used to be, the way that it was designed to be, the easy navigation, so on and so forth. Maybe you want to watch AEW without commercials. Maybe there's some other overseas services that you can't subscribe to and you want access to them. NordVPN.com/Fightful gives you that with a great deal and a 30-day money-back guarantee. Even better, 24/7 tech support. So if you have trouble navigating any of it, they can help you out. Fastest VPN on the planet, NordVPN.com/Fightful. Love our partners at NordVPN.com/Fightful. That is legitimately how I was able to see the end of Raw last week.
really?
Was because I had it up on a different feed thanks to NordVPN and it didn't cut off. So Yeah, but we got a ton of super chats and humper chats here. Do you think it's possible WWE buys Impact and uses it as a developmental platform and stream it on Peacock and Netflix? So we've got a lot to talk about TNA, WWE.
Yep.
I will ask people this. I have no insight, but here's my opinion. When's the last time WWE was in tape library acquisition mode or territory acquisition mode? When's the last time they bought a place like that? When's the last time Endeavor did that with UFC? Before UFC got bought by Endeavor, they had bought Pride and was it Strikeforce and WFA and all these other places. Not so much now. Now they're into just licensing stuff. And Crazy 101 says if the library went up, who would likely buy it? TK? Yeah, I would say probably Tony Khan would be the person to buy that library. I don't know if WWE has a great need for it outside of maybe utilizing it to relicense it in the form of documentaries in which they don't produce as much anymore. A&E produces those.
Yeah. I was thinking for the documentary aspect, like you think about people like AJ Styles, you know,
their home video department doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's funny, like you and I talked the other day about this. And the first thing I said to you was, is there any way you can find out if WWE has a financial interest in TNA? And that's because my gut tells me there's something going on in that regard. So let's kind of recap. So Jordynne Grace is on NXT television. She had a match this week. She's going to have Roxanne Perez at Battleground for the women's title, NXT women's title. And there's speculation, and maybe you can talk about this, Sean. There's speculation that it might go the other way as well, because Jordynne has an open challenge on the TNA Against All Odds show on June 14. Speculation is it could be an NXT or WWE talent that challenges her.
Tatum Paxley seemed to hint on Tuesday.
Okay, and so that takes me back to the mid-90s, right? In the mid-90s, WWE collaborated with ECW. They had ECW talent on their TV. They had WWE talent on ECW TV. They used ECW for developmental. Al Snow is a perfect example of the guy that they loaned to ECW, and Paul Heyman turned him into something. We found out later on, after ECW closed down, that WWE was investing in them and that they were basically giving them money to keep them afloat. TNA, obviously, they've had their struggles, right? And they have to use Access TV for distribution, which is a channel that they bought that really nobody watches. So my gut tells me, why would WWE do this? Why would they provide exposure to a smaller wrestling company? Granted, a company that's not a competitor, but why would they provide exposure to another wrestling company? To me, it's one of two things, and it could be a combination. Either it's because they want to provide their talent in NXT, who most of them only wrestle once a week in the same building. So they want to provide them with maybe another venue and more talent to kind of work with and learn from. But aside from that, you'd think they must have some kind of financial interest, because otherwise, why would they want to do this? Like, what are your thoughts on that?
It creates buzz for their show. When's the last time you heard people talking about NXT as much as they did last week?
You're right. But at the same time, NXT,
that's the benefit. They get a great talent that they wouldn't be able to get. Like, they create buzz for their show. Like, I saw this when people were talking about Kenny Omega and when he was in TNA. Well, why would they do that? They got Kenny Omega. They got somebody that could benefit, whether he was beating their guys or not. AEW, I don't know what exactly they gained out of it besides their talent, you know, winning world titles on that show. In WWE, objectively, they're getting more buzz. Objectively. Like, the attention on NXT is significantly increased a few months ahead of them switching networks, when they really, really want them to make a big impression on CW.
Okay, so you think that might be a reason, is because they wanted to generate, like, beyond, because TNA is probably, they have a bigger buzz maybe online than they do in terms of television, right? Because I think Access does like 100,000 viewers a week. So they've got probably a bigger buzz online. So maybe they're trying to utilize that online buzz. That's possible. Now, this has led to a lot of fantasy booking, and I'm going to be a bearer of bad news here, Sean. This has led to a lot of fantasy booking with people thinking, oh, WWE is going to collaborate with AEW now, because now they're open-minded. Vince is out of the way, and now they're open-minded, and they're going to do this. And Swerve Strickland even suggested it on a podcast. He said, if there's ever a time it could happen, now is more likely than it's ever been. You have to look at this not as a fan, but you have to look at it from a business perspective. And from a business perspective, there is zero chance that WWE is going to collaborate with, number one, their biggest wrestling competitor, who's going to get a new cash injection, who's already been going after free agents that WWE's been interested in. There is zero chance that they were going to potentially strengthen and provide exposure to that company. And so I know people would love to see a collaboration and a co-promotion between AEW and WWE. It's just not going to happen. AEW is not TNA. TNA is not AEW. That's my opinion. What's your opinion?
Well, I think there's a more than 0% chance of everything. I'll just say that because I don't rule out.
1%.
If I would never rule anything out in wrestling. I think it was very possible before. I don't know if it was a miscommunication or if it was outright contract tampering with Swerve when they reached out to him. It's hard for me to believe they wouldn't know of his contract status, but also some issues there and some of the shots that WWE has taken that most people watching this don't even know about, like some behind the scenes elements probably reduce that. But I also think that if Tony Khan was presented with a legitimate, sincere opportunity to do that, he's so much of a wrestling fan that he probably would. It's a matter of, would WWE do it? And well, the likelihood there is probably not.
Yeah, I mean, Tony Khan, he'd be crazy to say no, right?
Sure.
Like when your show, like Dynamite, has been losing viewers at a high clip, higher than cord cutting, you'd be nuts if you don't. If they say, hey, we want to have Swerve Strickland on Raw next week, you'd be crazy to say no. Of course, he would do it, but I just don't think WWE would. There's no benefit. There's no reason why they would want to do it.
Let me get through some of these super chats. Nicholas says, what's the likelihood NXT goes for a surprise and crowns Jordan for a few weeks? Do you think it would main event over Ethan versus Trick? I think Ethan versus Trick will main event. By the way, great signing for NXT is Ethan Page.
Look at him cutting promo, Sean.
Knew he could. He's so good. But yeah, I think there's a possibility Jordan Grace wins the title. I mean, she could do that, drop it back. I mean, the original deal is FightfulSelect.com. Best $5 in the business reported it was for 3 dates. So, and that was the appearance and the 2 matches.
Do you think that for NXT, do you think it would make sense for their champion to lose to Jordan? I don't know. I
don't think it matters. I don't think it matters that much.
Yeah, maybe. I got to say one thing about Jordan Grace. Is that girl not... Did she not look perfect on a bigger stage?
You know what she I mean? Always does. Here's what I brought up was a few years ago, the New Japan TNA relationship was horrible. And it was horrible because back in the day, TNA mistreated Okada because Vince Russo's an idiot. And they switched titles without approving it with New Japan to the point to where as recently as 4 or 5 years ago, Davey Boy Smith Jr. was trying to work for TNA and New Japan said no.
Right.
Then there's an opportunity for Chris Bay to work New Japan US shows. And I was like, that's the guy to do it. That's the guy you want to send who looks like $1 million, is going to show up in shape, put on a great show, be a great representative of your brand. And I remember I talked to him before that and he goes, oh yeah, I realize the pressure that is on my shoulders right now to help repair a relationship that has been frayed for a decade. Jordan said the same thing. She was like, I've got a lot of pressure on me because if I fall on my face, WWE might go, well, we ain't doing that again. So she understands that pressure. And I really respect the fact that she delivers every single time. She should have lasted a lot longer in the Rumble too.
Yeah. I mean, she's a great presence. She's an in-ring veteran. And, you know, sometimes, and this was kind of the growing pains that AEW had, because when they started, they plucked a lot of people off the independent circuit because they had to fill out a roster. Sure. So they plucked a lot of people off the independent circuit who had never had that kind of television exposure. And a lot of them struggled because they had never had that kind of a spotlight. Jordan Grace has been around a long time. She's had a lot of television experience. And I thought the Rumble, she did really well. I thought NXT this week, she did really well. And she really fits. And I'm curious to see where it goes, you know?
Marquise Del Toro says, WWE buying TNA, bad idea if true. I've heard nothing to hint at that. Does TNA know what they have with Joe Hendry? Hope he's in the world title match at Slammiversary. Why isn't TNA announced airing Impact on TNA Plus tomorrow? They did online. Yeah. We broke the news on FightfulSelect.com. Several of their employees chimed in. So, I mean, like, it's not a secret or anything like that. They also announced a time change for an upcoming show in Montreal. But did I miss the reasoning on the TNA wrestlers making the hourglass posts? No, you didn't. I'm going to find out about that. I think enough time has passed to where I can get an answer.
I want to mention Joe Henry for a second. So I don't know if I've mentioned this before. I've told you how I use my wife as a gauge for what's working because she's a casual fan, right?
Yeah.
You know how Joe Henry's music went tops on Billboard UK?
Mm-hmm.
His entrance music? So I showed her his video for his entrance music. She loved it.
He's great.
And I explained to her, he writes his own stuff. He produces his own stuff. I showed her the thing he did in the ring where he did the Creed cover. And that guy, he's got the entertainment aspect of pro wrestling down. And I really hope we see him in NXT because he would be perfect.
Chad Edwards says, do you think AEW could do an NBA Tonight type show? I mean, yeah, I think they probably could, honestly. Probably RJ City and Renee doing it would be very funny. And a talent that they're not, Chuck Taylor would be very funny on something like that, honestly.
Do you watch Inside the NBA very often?
I watch it all the time. I love it.
So have you seen the love-in with the Oilers with Shaquille O'Neal and Charles Barkley?
I did not, no.
I thought you said you watch it all the time, Sean Ross.
Not literally every fucking episode, Jimmy. I've got a life.
It's been a several episode thing where Shaquille O'Neal, there's a player named Zach Hyman, and Shaquille O'Neal calls him Shaq Hyman. So they exchange jerseys. Charles Barkley likes a player named Leon Draisaitl. So Leon Draisaitl sent him a jersey. And there's been like this love-in between the Barkley says he's picking the Oilers to win the whole thing. How about that?
Well, if anybody knows something about not winning championships, it's Charles Barkley. Chris says, does AEW know TV time is bad? Do you mean their TV time slots? Yeah, they know those are bad. In Louisville Friday for SmackDown, can't wait. I'll be in Chicago, actually, doing some meetings. What's the Impact Zone doing in the NXT PC meme? Anywhere worth going is worth going in good boots, and you can find your perfect pair at Tecovas. Tecovas crafts quality Western boots for everyone, from generational ranchers and lifelong cowboys to first-time boot buyers, which is what I was up until a couple of years ago. Growing up in Kentucky, you see boots everywhere. But I never jumped into the game until I found Tecovas, and I love it. Every one of Tecovas boots are handcrafted with over 200 meticulous steps for broken-in comfort right out of the box. Whether it's a long day or a big night, your Tecovas are built to last and impress. That's why Esquire loves them and says they're the reason we keep coming back to Tecovas. They are so comfortable. Plus, with Tecovas' best in the West guarantee, you get free returns and exchanges for 30 days. And right now, get 10% off at tecovas.com/SRS when you sign up for email and text. That's 10% off at tecovas.com/SRS. That's tecovas.com/SRS. See site for details. Tecovas, point your toes west.
We've seen the impact we make when we stand together. So let's stand with candidates who represent us in Washington, D.C. Sherrod Brown always stands up for the well-being of our community, capping the price of insulin and cracking down on predatory landlords jacking up rents in black neighborhoods. Black power is in our votes. Let's use it today. Vote now to re-elect Senator Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by AFSCME People, AFSCMEPeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
By the way, guys, get in your super chats, get in your humper chats. We greatly appreciate that. Whose contract info will SRS get during today's show? Nobody's, but at 4 p.m. Eastern over on Fightful Select, not only will we have the list goes on, which we have when Jimmy and I are here, I do have some contract news from New Japan coming. Could AEW work together if it's a charity show? I could see them doing like a charity basketball game or something, like maybe charity bowling or some shit like that.
Only if it's not affiliated with WWE or AEW. Like, you know, when Omega did the stuff with New Day, video game stuff.
Yeah.
Something like that, but nothing affiliated with the wrestling companies. Cause I just don't see WWE greenlighting that.
Do you think there's any chance Endeavor buys TNA and runs it over the TKO banner, similar to Tony with ROH? I think it's a very small chance. I think less than a 10% chance, honestly, unless they get a too good to be true offer and Anthem is just wanting to unload it so bad that they do that. That's the only way. Brian says, SRS, hope you and the fam are doing okay. We are. Thank you. Says Jimmy, congrats on the Oilers. Any predictions on what awaits Vince and when it will happen? I want to tie this in a little bit to Phantom saying, thoughts on WWE booking a storyline involving unwanted sexual advances while being investigated for sexual assault seems tone deaf and in poor taste. Well, they're also being investigated for sex trafficking. Mm-hmm. I see this way different, way different. I fully believe Liv and Dominic are in cahoots anyway, but like, I just don't read it in that same way. Now,
I agree.
The Vince stuff, way different. Way different there. We got a person abusing power and manipulating someone allegedly. There's a lot more in that than what we're seeing here in Liv Morgan trying to take Dominic away from Rhea Ripley. But thoughts on that and the predictions on what happens with Vince?
I agree about Liv Morgan and Dominic. I think they are in cahoots. I think that Dominic is going to help her retain over Rhea Ripley, and it's going to lead to Rhea turning babyface. And so I agree. I don't see any correlation or nothing that made me think one versus the other. When it comes to Vince McMahon, do you remember when Janelle Grant's lawsuit first became public? And on this podcast, I said, this civil suit could lead to a criminal suit because the allegations are severe enough to justify it.
Yeah.
We knew that Vince was raided by the feds last year, right? We knew that. And now it's come out that the U.S. Justice Department has asked Janelle Grant to pause her suit pursuant to a pending non-public investigation. I don't know if it was reported back when the raid happened, but a grand jury subpoena was issued against Vince as well. And what that means is that he has to submit evidence or testimony to assist them with their federal investigation. Add all of that up, and it sure as hell looks to me like a criminal case is in the works here. And
sure looks like it, yeah.
It does.
As it should be.
Yeah, and imagine if that happens. So do you remember much about the steroid trial? Because back then, wrestling behind the scenes wasn't as public as it is now. Do you remember much about that?
I was barely alive then. So yeah, I mean, like I was a youngster then. I was more worried about what was on Nickelodeon than Vince McMahon at steroid trial. But I've read up on it.
Okay.
But yeah, go ahead.
Well, I'm a little bit older than you, and sure I remember are. It. So back then, you had to basically utilize the Observer because there was no internet really. But I remember back then, like Hogan testified, Warrior testified, like a whole bunch of wrestling talent was called in to testify. If this thing turns into a criminal case, it's all going to happen again, man. Hunter's going to be on the stand. Stephanie's going to be on the stand. Nick Khan's going to be on the stand. It's going to be a major public situation. And, you know, there's hard to spin a positive out of it, but it looks to me like it's in the works. And again, if it's a criminal case, you know how Vince was trying to keep the civil case private, right? Yeah. He wanted arbitration. Good luck in a criminal case, bud. It's going to be public. Media is going to be following it. And the nitty gritty is going to come out. But it sure looks like that's going to happen. So stay tuned.
That super chat meant, does AEW know that TV time with Chris Jericho is bad? Listen, I enjoyed it last week. I hate to tell you guys.
I didn't look at the quarters. Do you know what the quarter hour did?
I didn't. I don't pay attention to numbers that much. I just report the news, brother. Connor says, hey, SRS and Jimmy, catching up on wrestling after seeing WWE's favorite country singer in the world, Hardy. Really enjoyed Raw and SmackDown replays of moves leading into a commercial break. I've enjoyed an awful lot of the production on WWE as opposed to what we saw for years. And this is what I keep bringing up, Jimmy. There were a lot of people that were like, oh, you know, Vince, he's revolutionary. He made wrestling, blah, blah, blah. Kevin Dunn, he's gotten to where they are. No, Kevin Dunn was garbage for like 15 years.
Yes.
Freaking garbage, especially since The Shield debuted. Vince McMahon was bankrupt of good ideas for a very long time. It makes me always wonder how good would WWE have been with a Jon Moxley and Adam Cole, you know, all these great talent that ended up leaving with someone who was capable of presenting them in a more effective way and doing their creative in a better way.
I used to joke that the one person that doesn't get credit for the creation of AEW is Vince McMahon.
Yeah.
For the exact reason that you just said. All the guys that left because Vince did a shitty job with them, including Jericho. Remember, Jericho said he was summoned to Saudi Arabia, and when he got to Saudi Arabia, they just wanted to do this list shit again, and he was like, Jesus, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, fully agreed. That's it.
With SummerSlam 2025 not announced, but 2026 is, could you see them announcing SummerSlam at Wembley as soon as Clash? Not as soon as Clash. I could see them going to Wembley. I don't know if All In will necessarily be in London every single year. They did it again this year, but I don't know if they'll do it again next year. 2026 was announced because Minnesota got screwed out of WrestleMania. That's it. That's why it's two nights. That's why it's announced now. It's because Minnesota was like, give us some shit to announce already. They've been teasing it at government meetings for months, so that's why.
Do you think that the appetite for WWE in Wembley, because when AEW ran last year, they sold it out without announcing a single match because the crowd just wanted a Wembley show. They hadn't had a Wembley show since 92. Now that they would have had this year and last year, let's say hypothetically if WWE booked Wembley next year, do you think that the appetite would be the same? Do you think that they would still be able to sell it out because it's WWE?
Yeah.
Think so?
Yeah, I do. WWE is very hot as far as the ticket goes, but I mean, they're also going to make an insane amount of money too. Because the tickets are going to be ridiculously expensive.
Right.
New Lack City sends a Humper Chat over at humperchats.com. Says, guys, told you guys we should temper expectations on fantasy booking of the prohibited portal. And now it looks like TNA will be getting Brooks Jensen. Also, I'm worried about TNA's future. I mean, I've been worried about TNA's future for about a decade now. And they always stay around and they're still doing it. I know a lot of people were concerned about the layoffs, departures, but those were replaced positions that they felt like they could improve in. Brooks Jensen going over there, you know what? He's got people talking right now too. Not as much as Jordan Grace, obviously, but he does have people talking and wondering what he's going to do. So, I mean, I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing. There's a novelty factor to that, but I think they'll get more than Brooks Jensen. I think that'll happen.
Feels like it. Yeah. I mean, even Drew McIntyre's kind of teased it on social media. You know,
Jim says, is Big E getting stem cell treatment in Mexico being confirmed? I believe he said that. I believe he said he was. And do you think we're finally leading to a breakup of Kofi and Xavier Woods? I've really enjoyed the Karrion Kross, like trying to just be a shitster gimmick. Like, I really, really like that. I like that type of gimmick. I always thought he would be good at it. He's a better talker than anybody gives him credit for. I don't think we're leading to a breakup because they don't ever want to break up. I think they would just, you know, kind of do singles stuff on their own if they wanted to go that route.
I also think that they have a great benefit of Hunter being the decision maker. If it was Vince McMahon, he would break him up just to break him up.
Oh, he tried. Like, he tried, and I was told they fought tooth and nail over it.
Right.
If Triple H takes over creative in 2017 and we have two solid years of WWE under Triple H, do we still get AEW? I'm not sure if we do.
I'm not either. Like, I think Moxie wouldn't have gone.
Yeah, I think there's a real good chance that maybe not. And I think that probably what would have happened would be the what seemed to be inevitable. I think ROH and New Japan probably would have, I don't want to say merged, but had a lot of dual contracts and they would have worked in cohesion a lot more.
I mean, there's still a chance that Cody and the Bucks would have done All In.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah,
because
that could
Cody
have
wasn't there, so that still might have happened, and that's what led Tony Khan to thinking this could work as a company. But having access to the talent they did, it would have been different. Like, I don't think Miro would have been available, and Moxley, and maybe even Jericho wouldn't have been available. The first year of AEW, Jericho was their MVP. Like, they don't get where they get year one without Jericho. But at the same time, there were still things AEW offered that WWE couldn't, like allowing guys to work for other companies. And so maybe a guy like Omega still wouldn't have wanted to go because he wanted that, you know? But it's
I'll tell you something that I'm offering people, a way to trim their pubes. Manscaped.com and the code Fightful. They have a monopoly on the bathroom. Let's be real. When they start selling wipes, it's over for everybody. What don't they have at Manscaped? It starts off, you know, with your body parts, your balls and your butt, but it's a lot more than that. They got everything in the bathroom, from the shower with body wash and shampoo and body buffers, to the beard. They have a phenomenal beard trimmer. They have beard combs, beard oil, beard conditioner, all that good stuff. And for your nether regions as well. They have a variety of packages that you can try out. From ones that go from the bathroom to your body to your hair. It doesn't really matter. They've got you covered. They've got a little something for everybody. If you're on the go, They have the go bag as well. They've got travel options. Manscaped.com and the code Fightful. You're always going to find a great deal when you use that code at Manscaped.
There were a lot of people. There were a lot of people in the chat crapping on Triple H, man. Whole bunch.
I mean, hey, listen, I'm not going to stop them. Go for it, guys. Matthew Hooks of Hooked In Voiceover says AEW needs to get Collision off Saturday. That helps. I agree. And I think they know that.
I think they'll have the chance to without NBA.
With Battleground heading to the Apex, could you see Endeavor wanting to move to the PC to the Apex in Vegas as a way of consolidating costs? Oh my gosh. I don't know about that. I don't think that they would want to necessarily go that route. I mean, so much of wrestling is like East Coast based anyway. Yeah, I don't think so.
All the talent lives in Orlando.
Not so only that, the cost of living in Vegas would just be astronomical for those talent. Like,
yeah, I was going to say, like, in Nevada, there's no state income tax, but there's not in Florida either. So yeah, that wouldn't really make a big difference. Yeah, that'd be a massive move, coast-to-coast move.
Think we see any TNA wrestlers or big surprises debuts at Battleground? Seems like NXT is on a roll right now. I think we just see the matches. I think we see Jordan Grace, and we have Ethan Page and all that stuff, and that's what sells the show.
Got to see Joe Henry.
Yeah, I would love that too.
I love that dude.
A charity pay-per-view for Connor's Cure and the Hart Foundation. I don't think that'll happen. I just really don't think that'll happen. How do you feel about the online perception that AEW fans are just Meltzer stands or internet fans? Doesn't sound fair, in my opinion. It is largely catered to what are considered internet fans, but also I don't think there are some mythical fans that exist out in the world that don't watch wrestling right now that seem to have the categorically opposing opinion of prevailing thoughts of online fans either. I think just as Nielsen is a sample size, internet fans are a sample size. That being said, I think that it is really weird to group everybody in like they think the same. For example, I got people all the time that are like, of course, they're from Fightful. We got 40 people on the staff. Most of them have never spoken to each other, much less discussed their interests with one another. So I don't think that's fair.
I mean, ultimately, it comes down to, as we've talked about many times, you know, AEW seems to cater to people that prefer the in-ring. WWE seems to cater to people that prefer the entertainment aspect. But it's all subjective. You can like what you want. If you prefer the in-ring, cool. If you prefer the entertainment aspect, cool. Like, there's no wrong answer.
Yeah. Reminder, guys, get in those super chats. Get in those Humber chats. Leave us a thumbs up. I'm trying to get to 750,000 thumbs ups for this video right now. That's it. New Lack City says, joined late. Sorry if I missed it. Did anyone take Jimmy to task for his Roddy title tweet when Piper Niven got a title shot? Ethan Page walked into NXT and got a title shot as well. Jimmy, you're awesome, but that was not your finest. So we're going to talk about this, Jimmy. You sure posted a tweet, and here's my issue with it. My issue was you said, if this happened in WWE, they get criticized for it. And a bit of an insight to my conversation with Jimmy said, well, can I criticize something? And I said, yes, but the prerequisite of if this was in WWE didn't need to be there. I'll let you speak first. That way I can dunk on you after.
So for one thing, I didn't mean for it to come off like this is only an AEW problem, because this is not only an AEW problem. And Sean brought up to me about the Piper Niven thing, and that's fair, right? So I understand with all of this stuff, there's the creative aspect and there's the business aspect, almost everything. With Piper Niven, there's the obvious business aspect, Clash of the Castles in Scotland, and she's Scottish. They want to give the person from Scotland the title shot. I get it. From a creative aspect, the last singles match I can remember her having was losing to Jade on SmackDown a couple weeks ago. Prior to that, I can't recall the last time she won a singles match. And
Piper
so,
has not won a singles match since October.
Right. And so from a creative aspect, it doesn't make sense for her to get a shot at Bayley. And I agree with that. With Roderick Strong, the issue I had was they had a number one contender match. He lost the number one contender match.
No, he wasn't in it. He wasn't in it. So it was the gauntlet. So the way they're gauntlet.
Wasn't he one of the guys in the gauntlet, but he hadn't come out yet?
Yes, that was it. And that was his complaint. And I get that, but because the nature of the AEW Gauntlet, which I think is a phenomenal match, is Two people start, five yeah. minutes, everybody, a new person comes in, and it can end at any time. So right. it's like the inverse of a Royal Rumble where you can benefit from whatever number early. That you're in. And I think that's pretty brilliant.
Yeah. See, the problem is it's the rules of the match. Like if anybody that's going to say, oh, well, Roddy didn't lose, he didn't get the Camellia, but that's the rule of the match. So if he deserved a title shot after essentially losing a number one contender match, so do the other dozen people that didn't get to come out yet before Ospreay won the match.
I think that Roderick Strong was the only one, or he was going to be the next one or whatever. Here's where I took issue with it. It should have been Swerve saying, no, if that little bitch wants a title shot, I'll give him a title shot if he wants it that much. I don't think Tony should have just handed it over, because now what you're doing
right.
is saying, oh, well, if you don't pop up in this match, then maybe you're going to get a title shot. All you got to right. do is complain.
Right.
Let me make a case for Roderick Strong in this case, though. Here are his singles matches in AEW. He beat Lio Rush. He just lost to Will Ospreay. He beat Kyle O'Reilly, Rocky Romero, London Lightning, Matt Menard, Orange Cassidy, Jake Hager, Matt Sydal, Brian Keith, Commander. He lost to Adam Page. He beat Action Andretti, Darius Martin, lost to Samoa Joe, beat Darby, beat Trent. That's in AEW. So he's like 15-3 in that sense. So that's why I think that Swerve could be like, well, yeah, maybe he does deserve it, but like just have a point of pride and be like, if that little bitch wants a title shot, I'll give him one.
Yeah. I mean, if it was done like that, I agree with that. And another aspect I want to talk about was the Ethan Page thing. So correct me if I'm wrong. The whole story on NXT this week was that Ava was trying to sign him, right? Mm-hmm. And she was offering him a deal. And Ethan Page was basically saying, I want more. I'm worth more. I want more. So the idea was the title shot was given yes. to him to get him to sign the contract, right?
I agree.
So anybody that's trying to use that saying, well, Ethan Page is getting a title shot, it's because in storyline that was done to get him to sign the contract.
And right? I'm completely on board with that, because, I mean, Piper's been attacking Bayley relentlessly as well.
Right.
And that, like, goaded her into it, but...
But you never saw Bayley say, you know, I'm going to give you a title shot. It was Piper that made a comment. What did she say? Something about Clash of the Castle. She made a comment sure. about something about Clash of the Castle. But like you're saying about Swerve with Roddy, it wasn't Bayley saying, all right, that's it. I'm going to get even with you at Clash of the Castle. It was Piper alluding to it. I can't remember what she said, but it was alluding to it, which is different. Like we've seen going back decades, if there's a heated feud, it leads to a title match, right?
I mean, well, Chad Gable got one after losing four of them and right. losing match after match. Logan Paul got one.
Yes, with Roman, especially.
And just with Cody, just by being the U.S. champion. AJ's about to get one for beating up Cody.
Yeah.
And losing one. Like, I do wish there was some more merit put into some of this, because, for example, why ain't Bron Breakker getting a title shot?
Right.
Like, why? And that hopefully that will be explained.
Yeah. See, I never, for me, I don't mind the AJ Styles one because of again, like, as long as I've been a wrestling fan, a title shot would come out of a heated feud, right? Like Paul Orndorff turns on Hogan, gets a title shot. Like that's how it yeah. was. So I don't mind that aspect of it, but I'm definitely with you on some of the other ones. Like I don't mind Logan Paul getting a shot at Cody because he's the U.S. champion, because I remember way back Randy Savage would get shots at Hogan all the time because he was the Intercontinental champion. I don't mind that. But when Logan got the shot at Roman, I remember you and I on this podcast were like, okay, again, business aspect, creative aspect. From a business aspect, Logan Paul's a name. I get it. But from a creative aspect, he had no business being in the ring with Roman Reigns at that point, right? So sometimes it doesn't make sense. Sometimes it does. But yeah, I didn't think the Roddy one made sense. But in fairness, I should have mentioned other ones like Piper and Devin, which also didn't make sense. I just lost you.
Sorry. Broadway Joe says, I don't understand these stories we get from AEW, like Miro, Megan Bain rejecting creative. Tony pays you, idiot. Show up and do what he tells you. Well, Broadway Joe, I just want to say this sincerely. Don't fucking talk like that in our comment section. Like these, don't be an asshole. But that has never been reported about Megan Bain on Fightful. Miro, yes, it has. But Listen, you don't know their circumstances, and until that is reported, you don't know it. I appreciate the super chat. There's no reason to be a fucking asshole about
it. I do want to say one thing about that.
Sure.
When you are a wrestlers to me are athletes, right? They're professional athletes. You yes. could be a star like Connor McDavid, a star hockey player making $12.5 million a year, having a great life and a great house and a beautiful fiance. The dude still wants to win. You know what I mean?
Sure.
He still wants
you
to
You don't
win.
Know their priorities. Millionaires, artists, parents. Right. Like, you don't know the priorities that anybody else has.
Yeah, like just because Miro is a professional athlete, you think the guy doesn't want to be featured on television? Sure. Right? Like, you have to think of it like that.
Manuel, as one that might be better for you, how will AEW Unmax in Canada work in Canada with Crave?
So if it's anything like I've seen with everything else, it'll air on Crave just like it does on Max. Mm-hmm. Crave is a Canadian, it's not even a channel, it's a Canadian service, and they have HBO and they have Showtime and they have, you know, everything else. And we get it the same day that you do. So the day that Game of Thrones airs on HBO, we get it on Crave the same day, same time. So I'm assuming that it's going to be a similar situation yeah. where it'll be there because it's part of the Max lineup.
BL says, what moment did you realize that wrestling was not real? For me, it was WCW selling tickets to the Bruise Cruise and always wondering how the good guys and bad guys got along. Berries for Jimmy. I say Oilers in six.
Thank you.
I don't really remember a time I didn't know it was like scripted. Like I kind of always understood like that's not the way this works. I know watching the first UFC, like VHS I got, I was like, oh, okay. But also there were little things I even noticed as a little kid. I'm like, why are they punching each other like this instead right. of like this? Like I think I could tell pretty early on.
So I vividly remember believing that Randy Savage had crushed Ricky Steamboat's larynx. I vividly remember calling a buddy upset saying, I think Ricky Steamboat has to retire. So they got me on that one. That was in 86 and I was like 11. They got me on that one. But otherwise, I'm with you. Like even like Hogan, Andre. Andre could barely move. And you know the one thing I do remember, Sean? I remember thinking yeah. how bullshit the commentary was. Like, do you remember Gorilla Monsoon would say, you know, these men are both in their prime. And I would look at Andre thinking, huh?
Yeah.
You know? And then he would say things like, you know, Andre has never been slammed. When I had seen a VHS tape like a year earlier of him and Hogan in Shea Stadium,
yep.
and Hogan slammed him. I was like, what do you mean he's never been slammed? So I do remember thinking commentary is full of shit, but Steamboat Savage, that one bought me.
CC says, Triple H, you have his new camera angles, but we still have opening and ring promos, hard cam focus, scripting, bad music, goofy facial expressions. Got to fix those. Now hold on. First off, Lee Fitting gave you those. Second off, opening and ring promos aren't necessarily bad. Scripting, are you want to see some of the shit your favorite wrestlers want to say?
Mm.
Like that's not always bad. Like I think that you're lumping everything in. It can be good and bad.
I agree with them on the music. WWE, they got to fix the music. But I think things have vastly improved under Hunter, like just in terms of the verbiage, in terms of, you know, you can say sure. wrestling on television. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Guys, we're heading down the home stretch. We will be over at FightfulSelect.com giving you the list goes on and some contract news. But what does the DOJ investigating WWE as well mean for them in terms of charges against them? Jimmy, what are you thinking here?
I don't think there's going to be charges against WWE. They'd have to have proof. As far as I know, WWE offices were not raided by the federal government. Yeah. They'd have to have something to prove that WWE, aside from Vince McMahon, knowingly knew this was happening. And I just don't think that's going to happen. This is going to be a Vince McMahon thing, maybe John Laurinaitis, but I think primarily Vince McMahon. I do think that WWE personnel, both management executives and wrestlers, are going to be called to the stand.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's going to be a WWE thing. People are saying, my sound is muffled. How do I sound?
Sound fine to me.
Okay.
Luis Montoya says, do you believe in Joe Hendry? Just getting familiar with him and loving it. Any match recommendation of his? Thank you for all your work, guys. Him against Moose last year was pretty good. Him and Yamura against the Rascals was good. There's an indie match between him and Leighton Buzzard that was also pretty good as well. But yes, he's good.
Look at the physical shape he's gotten himself into, too.
Yeah.
You know?
Rock Hard Joel Wood says Ava said she couldn't do it. Trick basically said give him what he wants because he wanted revenge. Swerve could have just stepped in with Tony telling Roddy no and Swerve saying give it to him. Right. I agree, Joel Wood. I think it should have been on Swerve to be like, no, let him. Like, right. I've paid attention to him. It could have very well been him. I've had my eye on him for a while.
Right.
Depending on if Chad signed long-term, do you think he beat Sammy at Clash? At this point, I do think he beat Sammy at Clash. Or, you know, I could see him not and then launching the Otis feud immediately afterwards. But, I mean, they've come to some sort of agreement to keep him there because otherwise the contract was going to be up Friday.
So that was on my list as the free agent. So I was going to ask you the latest that you've heard on Gable and on the others whose deals are coming up. Garza.
Natalya hasn't come to terms. They're talking. We've got details on Dijak tomorrow on Fightful Select. Becky has not re-signed. She's not going to re-sign right now. She's very aware that she could have and just sat home and made hundreds of thousands of dollars just chilling. But they're pretty confident. As KE775 says, do you get a sense WWE's nervous with Becky no longer under contract? Or do they feel confident that when she's ready to return, they'll get a deal done? They feel confident. I think both sides feel pretty confident that that will happen. So, yeah, I mean, until it does happen, anything can happen. And I'm sure she's going to get, I'm sure she's already gotten enormous offers.
And she should. She should. And I look at her very much like a Drew McIntyre. It's like, why would they continue to feature him in a prominent position if they didn't think that they were going to get a deal done? They had Becky with the belt. Like, she was the champion when they knew her contract was coming up. Like, you can't help but feel like they must know. But Becky deserves to get paid. And you know what? Chad Gable deserves to get paid too. And
yes,
so
he does.
Good for him. I mean, the timing of this is so fortuitous for him because he's having the best run, arguably, of his career. But I was going to ask you about Clash of the Castle. If you thought that Sammy was going to beat him because of his contract status, or if you thought that he was going to win, because I think Chad needs to win to keep this thing going. If he loses again, then where do you go from there? He's got to win.
I feel like him losing is also a big part of the story because what motivation does Alpha Academy have to stay with them?
Yeah, they don't. They don't. Yeah. But like, I feel like if Otis costs them the match, because everybody's waiting for Otis to turn, if he costs them the match, I feel like it'd be cooler if they had a title, if he had a title shot, like if Gable's the champion and he gets a title shot. But I guess we'll see.
We got four more to wrap up with. Brian says, are you still doing a Def Rebel story? Yep. We keep getting more info about it. Velocipaster says, what's the government backstage at AEW like? Why does it seem so disorganized? Is it like WWE's?
The government?
WWE, I think the hierarchy. There's Tony, then there's the writing team. There's the people that go in between the writing team and the talent as well. There are several tiers of that as well. But, I mean, there's plenty of disorganization in every company like that. Not just that, there's disorganization in Fightful as well. So, it just happens like that, but they're getting better with it as they grow. I think Tony realizes this isn't them hanging out in Jacksonville during the pandemic anymore. Not everybody right. can have access to him. So Crazy says, when is Ricochet's contract up? I don't think until at least next month, but I need to find out more on that. K775 says, assuming it's AJ versus Cody and a woman's title match added, do you think they'll stick with those five matches or add one more? I think five or six is probably the limit. They seem to be fine doing that, Jimmy, and people seem to like the shows like that.
Especially when they do a media scrum. Do you think, because they're in Scotland, do you think McIntyre wins it, or do you think that Punk distracts him again?
I think Punk distracts him again. And I think that audience will even appreciate a good story. I think
right.
they will.
Leading to SummerSlam.
Yeah. Guys, we are headed to FightfulSelect.com. We got CC Bonbon wrapping us up saying, why is Bayley so undervalued by WWE? No posters, likely a contract offer, nowhere near Becky Charlotte. She carried the pandemic era and feels authentic. I think they value her. They put the title on her at Mania. She won the Rumble. She was a champion for well over a year. I don't know. I don't want to speculate on her money because I don't know, but I think they value her. They understand her value. They haven't always valued her to her ability, but there you go.
I not only do I agree with you, but I saw Bayley. She did a vlog during Mania. And she said on the vlog about how much trust she had in Hunter, and she felt like Hunter had kept his word to her. And she even talked about how when she went through a period where she was putting people over, she was confident, trusted Hunter that you know that things were going to come through for her, and then she won the Rumble and won the title. So I think she's doing fine.
Well, guys, we are continuing over at FightfulSelect.com. We have some new Japan contract news and the opportunity for a few wrestlers to do the funniest thing of all time. Join us over there. Leave us a thumbs up here. Leave us comments. And, of course, subscribe to FightfulSelect.com. Until next time, we're out.
We know there's power in our numbers. We've seen the impact we make when we stand together. So let's stand with candidates who represent us in Washington, D.C., not extremist Bernie Moreno. If elected, Moreno could make the Radical Project 2025 playbook a reality, endangering our democracy and our hard-won rights and freedoms. Together, we can stop Moreno and his allies from reversing everything our ancestors fought for: Social Security, voting rights, and more. Sherrod Brown always stands up for the well-being of our community, capping the price of life-saving drugs like insulin and cracking down on predatory landlords jacking up rents in Black neighborhoods. Black power is in our votes. Let's use it today. Vote now to re-elect Senator Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by Ask Me People, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.